All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass here on a late Monday night. And I'm joined here by the softball team, third baseman, junior, Emma Evans. So, Emma, thanks for connecting with me, you know, about 8:15 here tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's you guys had a lot of games this week. I mean, you guys have been playing a ton of baseball over the last 2 weeks. And you know, when you really think about it, it's like you canceled, like, basically over the last 2 weeks, like two doubleheaders. It was at Eureka you canceled. You moved, you know, Friday's doubleheader with Whitewater to this Saturday. So you had a little bit of a break. So that was nice. You know, the team's off to a great start. I mean, 13-3, you know, you went 4-2 over the past week, but you know, you really jumped into some really, you know, tough conference play this week. I mean, why not just start off with Carthage and Milliken and you know, they're super talented. But you know, you had doubleheaders on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. You push Friday's doubleheader, you know, out to this coming Saturday. So let's maybe just start off with Buena Vista. So, you know, you traveled up to Storm Lake. I think anytime you play out of conference, you never really, you know, necessarily know what to expect. You know, they're not necessarily the top in the ARC by any stretch of the imagination. You know, but they brought, you know, they brought some competition, especially in game one, you know, took it kind of 10 innings. Talk to me just a little bit about what your thoughts were on the trip up to Storm Lake.
Yeah. So going into that game, we played Buena Vista last year. It was a JV game last year. So as far as I was aware, they weren't like anything crazy, but you know, you can never look down on a team. And especially they kind of proved that to us. They had a whole new coaching staff and a lot of new recruits come in. And we were obviously playing a varsity game, not a JV game this time. And I think we kind of got stagnant on the way there, you know, 5-hour bus drive, like 8 a.m. leave time. We were going to be gone all day long, middle of the week. So homework going on, you know, stuff doesn't stop. And I think that when we got there, they were kind of a little bit more than we expected, although definitely super beatable team. We didn't perform the best we could have. We kind of played down to their level, in my opinion. Didn't expect to go into 10 innings by any means. A little bit of a slower pitcher, which sometimes we can have trouble hitting off of because we're used to hitting off a pretty good spin, pretty good speed. But yeah, I think it was kind of good for us actually, just because being able to step up and see that we're going to play at all these different levels of competition, all different types of pitchers, throwing pitches in different sequences, different speeds, and being able to adjust, especially second, third time through the lineup. In the field, we had a couple fielding errors, if I do remember right. The first game was just so long. So many innings, can't even remember. But, yeah. And also just being so far away, making it a 10-inning game was kind of going to stretch out our night a little bit. So,
well, you come back and won, you know, game two, four to one. And, you know, it's nice to bounce back, you know, on some of those. And, you know, again, it's just tough. You know, anytime you go to non-conference, you always feel like you're going to get, you know, especially the way all you ladies have been rolling, the way the Vikings have been rolling this year. Like, you know, that I'm sure they were pretty amped up for that game, you know, to play you all. So, you know, you're probably going to try and get their best game, you know, maybe their best pitcher. I didn't really look and see, you know, who had pitched that game, but then it's like, you know, you go from there, you jump right into, you know, Carthage. And, you know, I'm like, man, Carthage and then Milliken. I'm kind of glad that the Whitewater, like, as well got kind of pushed, because I'm like, three, like, tough teams in a row. You know, it's like, you know, a big win in game one. Obviously, it went the other way in game two. You know, you had to change venues. You know, you had to play at the Green Valley Sports Complex there in Moline. But how was that field? I hadn't been over there before. How, I mean, overall, I mean, how was that field just to play on?
Well, for one, definitely better in shape than our field. We went on Saturday morning around 8 or 9, I believe. We tried to start raking the field, put some Diamond Dry on it, and get some work in because it had rained on the Friday, but also like into the Saturday morning. It just did not look good. We planned to go back at 10:30 or 11:30. We already had pushed the games. Carthage was on their way, so there really was no canceling. You were gonna have to figure something out. I mean, they're just so far away. I would do the same thing if I was them. But yeah, Green Valley, actually, I played there during my travel ball days way back when.
Is that Havoc?
So I played in the Havoc tournament, but I played for a
Yep.
team out of Farmington and Peoria.
Okay.
But yeah, I hadn't played there in a long time. I was over there for the fall. We did a little bit of a fundraiser for the team there. But we had to rush kind of to get the field ready. I mean, it's a nice facility. They had a breakaway fence, open side, so I like that personally. But also, like the field for the infield, it was pretty rocky. A couple bad hops, especially in pregame. I was getting kind of trying to flatten some things out around third base just because, I mean, they didn't have really have time to drag the field. It was still kind of rocky, and like with all the rain we got, not ideal conditions. But also, we're not going to play in ideal conditions all the time. And having back-to-back games, like you've been mentioning, like John said something really good that I remember from the other day about like a team that makes it far, a team that makes it far in the CCIW and past is going to have to play like 4 or 5, hard, tough games in a row, sometimes on the same day, sometimes not. So all these doubleheaders really are preparing us. So yeah, the field, not great condition, but I was glad we got to play.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny you say that because there's a, one of the, quotes I always, I'm trying to think who said it, but it said that, the like tough situations don't make you, they reveal you. And I'm a, I'm a big kind of proponent of that as well. It's like, they're gonna really bring out, I think, who you are, regardless, whether that's, your grittiness, your toughness, your mental toughness or not. And sometimes you just have to play in situations that aren't ideal, and but it's not you that's just playing, right? It's everybody else. The other team is playing in those same exact, conditions. So it's even regardless, but. Now is, for our, for the softball field, for your softball field, is it just not getting enough like drainage? 'Cause I know we've got that hill kind of coming off, like, was it seventh or seventh and a half, wherever that is right there behind it. Is it just kind of funneling all that water down to it then? I mean, what's kind of the issue there?
Yeah, well, for one, we have a broken sprinkler system, so that does not help because behind second base, it gets really soggy even when it's not raining like it was. And we actually just got the field dug out last week or the week before, whenever we were on spring break. Which was good. The field was rolled, like it was a lot flatter. And we had just the practice before that, John was getting the field ready, and we were helping him. But just with the rain on top, like the drainage is just not very good still. Also, it was just like the clay. We didn't have as much topsoil as we usually do because it had just got dug out and it was clay, and we just barely put anything on the top for the last practice. So I don't know. I was optimistic that morning that we would be able to get it ready, but especially the second time we went back to the field, it was just muddy. Like it would have been a mess. It would have been really hard to play in those conditions for either team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why we got to get, I mean, I don't know, what are your thoughts? I mean, have you played on a fully synthetic like field before? I mean, what are your thoughts on
Yeah, I
them?
mean, Millikan has a turf field itself, and I personally love playing on turf way more than dirt. And I probably won't see it in my years, considering I'm a junior. But I hope that in the next like 5 to 10 years, I know John's really pushing for a turf field, even just like a turf infield, maybe like still grass outfield, just something. I know there's been some kind of talk with the athletic department about changing some things over on that side of the campus. I'm not really sure what all I'm allowed to say.
I think it's kind of part of that like 15-year plan, you know, that's like they're talking about. So, I mean, I agree. It's,
yes,
you know, that's, you know, the baseball team, they deal with the same thing. It's like, you know, if they had, I mean, because you're in the Midwest, it's not like you're in Florida, you know, you're in Arizona, you know, where it's like the weather's going to be a lot nicer. You know, it's like we play in the Midwest. We play when it's 78 degrees on opening day, and then it's going to be snowing 2 days later. You know, you need to have a field that's robust, you know, enough for it. And I think about too, like, man, having to go out, prepping the field in the morning, and then to come back and then play a game or two, and then prepping in between, like, you know, granted, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it's a lot of the non-starters that are out, you know, helping and doing some of that stuff as well. But it takes the entire team to get a field ready, you know, regardless. You know, it's just kind of one small thing that, you know, just taking a little bit more energy, a little bit more time out of it. So I don't know. I haven't won, you know, the Super Lotto yet. So, you know, if we do that, you know, maybe I can make a donation, I suppose.
That would be awesome, Matt. I'm looking forward to it. I can feel it. Next 10 years, it's coming.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, they've definitely, I mean, it's a need. I mean, the focus, you know, especially the baseball team and the softball team, so competitive. It's just needed. At the end of the day, you know, it's just a necessity at this point. It's not a nice to have. I think it's a must have, just because of where we're at.
I agree.
So, well, you know, so let's talk a little bit about that Carthage, you know, team, because, you know, coming in, I was like, man, Augie and Carthage are the top hitting teams in the CCIW. So I wasn't entirely surprised. I think, you know, when I saw the split, you know, when we take a look at it, like they've got, you know, two of the, you know, three best, you know, statistical hitters, you know, along with a couple of, you know, folks from the Vikings. It's like, you know, offensively, it's like, well, who's going to score more? Well, you split it and you both scored a bunch. So, you know, what was your thoughts just kind of on Carthage and seeing them like so early in the season?
Yeah, definitely different. Last year we saw Carthage after we'd already had probably like four or six conference games. Cause we played Carthage and then we stayed the night up in the area and played Carroll, I think, the next day, which we played Carroll this upcoming weekend. So it might've just been a week difference, but regardless, having them be the CCIW opener, you know, we did a lot of research, knew what we were coming into. That first game we were on fire, you know, 13-0. I mean, can't really ask for much more than that. The game was an hour and 10 minutes, so quickest game. A lot better than the 10-inning Buena Vista game we played 2 days before.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we knew what they were coming into. You know, first inning, I saw Claire Rettler got a CCIW Hitter of the Week today. But in that first game, you know, they didn't even get through the lineup twice. And that was a combined effort with our pitching, but also just our bats were on fire. I think the top of the lineup is really producing right now, pretty consistently producing. And then we've got some string in hits here and there from a lot of different people. I think it's also really good that right now our outfield is kind of up in the air. We have a lot of players who are really good, who are kind of moving in and out between games one and games two, whenever we have varsity games. And really, I trust any of them to get a hit. So that's kind of nice. Also kind of hard for the other team to pitch against us if they don't really know who's coming up to the plate, mm-hmm. other than like the top five in the lineup. So second game, definitely not what we wanted it to be. Very frustrating, still thinking about it. You know, we really need a sweep, like a couple teams coming up here, especially we got Wheaton on Wednesday, very sweepable team. And you can get into the tournament with splits, but like we're never satisfied. So we would like to win the conference and be able to host the tournament. But if for some reason that's not going to be the case, we still are going to be able to win the conference come actual tournament time. So I think that being able to see the pitchers, both games for Carthage was just really good for us.
Well then, I mean, you know, after that, I was just pulling up the schedule here, you know, as well, because that's, you know, a 4 o'clock, you know, doubleheader game here. So that'll be good. Yeah, I mean, you know, the CCIW right now, it's definitely in order to kind of claim those top spots. Yeah, you definitely have to sweep, you know, a couple of teams, you know, to get those 1 and 2 game kind of separations, you know, because right now it's just, it's so compacted. Like, I was looking at I went to the CCIW conference, standings, and some of them looked wrong. So I actually had to go, you know, kind of team by team and update it. But it's like, you know, Augie, Wheaton, Carthage, Elmhurst, all 2-2 in the conference. North Central's 2-0. North Park, Millikan, 1-1. And obviously, Carroll and Wesleyan hadn't played a conference game yet. You know, but then you kind of take a step back and look at, the overall, you know, record. It's like, you know, certainly 13-3, best in the conference, you know, from that perspective right now is, you know, as the Vikings, you know, and then after that, it's like, well, it's probably, you know, Wesleyan 15-7, Carthage 16-8, something like that. So, you know, so it's like, you know, for a team that was, you know, picked, you know, fourth, you know, kind of preseason, you know, it's like, you know, you guys are riding the wave a little bit, you know, and now it's just continuing to, you know, to fine-tune some of the little things, you know, here or there, you know, as you work your way into conference play. So so that's awesome. Now, you know, then you went down to Millikan, you know, so it's like, you know, you had your long drive to Buena Vista, another long drive to, you know, down to Decatur. It's not too bad to get those out of the way, though, either, you know, early in the season when you're feeling a little more fresh. And because, you know, you'd even mentioned, you know, talking about, like, having a number of just talented players, especially like in the outfield, that's going to serve so well later in the year. You know, when you can potentially give, you know, a game off, rest, especially when it comes to conference play, like that's a brutal, like, you know, 2 and 3 game stretch. You know, if you're not a number one or number two seed, you know, then it's, you're kind of fighting all the way up. So, you know, you went down to Millikan, you know, you split those games, you know, as well. And again, I think that was kind of another, you know, matchup, probably not quite surprised, you know, to see that, you know, lost game one, but I think, you know, then coming back game two, 5-0, you know, talk to me a little bit about those games. Cause I think there's two things. I think one, didn't allow a single earned run between those two games. So you think about, like, Lauren pitching and McCaleb, you know, McCalen pitching, game two, you know, 6 2/3 in game one and all 7 in game two. Like, that's phenomenal. And then, you know, I was looking at, like, you know, Anna Enlow for Millikan, you know, as of Friday, she led the CCIW with 4 home runs, 4 triples, and is, like, you know, top slugging. She was 0-6 on Sunday. So, then another, you know, there's some good takeaways, you know, when we think about some things that really went well. I don't know, what were your kind of your thoughts and takeaways on Sunday?
Yeah, so just kind of going off about what you said, what I said, and then what you said about having a lot of good players that can play, definitely helpful for the conference, even helpful in, like, games like this. The first pitcher for Millikan, she was kind of throwing a lot of low rise, which we haven't seen yet in the conference. And that's just something to get used to. And there's some players who can hit that better than others. And obviously in the first game, not a lot of us were hitting her super well. A couple times through the lineup, we adjusted. We got a lot of walks in there. I know I had a walk in there. But, yeah, super great combined effort from both of our pitchers. They can – Lauren and McCalen are amazing. They can spin it. Also, just, like, talking about the turf field again, I know I had a lot of defensive plays on Sunday. And it was just made so much easier. Kind of – we had a couple shifts going for a couple of players, but also, like, took away a lot of the bad hops that some of them we were seeing on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Most of the problem on the first game for Milliken was just getting the bats going, which is kind of what our strong point has been this whole season. So, which was a little frustrating. But, you know, it came out second game, one time through the lineup, didn't really do much, but second time through the lineup, we really adjusted well, which is what a good team has to do. And even in the second game, we had a couple different players come in. I know we had, like, Lily Burton come in, hit a triple. So, you know, like, being able to step up and being mentally tough, like you were talking about earlier, really cold both Saturday and Sunday, really good teams. We know these games count, and they're earlier in the season. A little bit different when the pressure's on in the middle of the season if you think you're not going to make it to the tournament, which I don't think we will have that problem. But, you know, sometimes you don't really realize how important it is when it's the first two games of the conference and you still have all these other games to play and kind of play catch up if you need to. But, yeah, overall, second game came away with the win. A lot of good efforts, hitting defensive-wise, good all around.
Well, I actually had to email their like associate sports information director or whatever, because I was watching the game and they had the huddle camera, and I knew exactly what the issue was because we noticed that when we installed the huddle camera for the baseball, is like you could hear what happened before the video came through. So like that first game, I heard Lexi Duke hit her home run before it actually happened, you know? So I was like, so I emailed them. I'm like, hey, by the way, can you adjust it 2.5 seconds so it syncs up? Didn't get my message or didn't respond, but the announcer was pretty good down there. Their field looked really nice. I think it was just kind of getting the bats going a little bit early on. I was just looking at the box score, you know, it's like, you know, leaving five on base, you know, it was always a little tough. Actually I think all five were Emma. So, ironically, I mean, it's good. Those are the ones you want to, you know, try and get rid of, you know, early on, and, you know, splitting those early on is not a, you know, certainly not a bad thing, you know, either. So, because it would be, I think it's what would be as interesting. It's like, you know, you're playing, you know, Whitewater on Saturday, and North Central, I think they just beat them 2-0, or did they split with them? I think they maybe just split with them, you know, here recently. So again, good strength of schedule. I've been looking at like the Massey ratings because it's the only like unofficial, you know, rating. And, you know, once we start, you know, getting them in, once we get Illinois Wesleyan, and once we get North Central in, then that'll certainly help, you know, the strength of schedule and kind of, you know, prop you up, because I think the team's been hovering 29 to like 35, which is, you know, a nice kind of spot to certainly be in. So, you guys have been so much fun to watch, you know, this year, which has been awesome. How's it been? I mean, you know, thinking about this year, the success you guys have had so far early on, I mean, how are you just generally feeling about just your junior year?
Yeah. Softball wise, I'm excited. My freshman year, I had an ACL injury, so I had to miss my entire season, and that was really disappointing. Also, just like coming in, we had a couple different coaching switches, so just a lot of things happening that year. Didn't really get what we wanted out of the season. I remember being even excited to punch the ticket to make it to the tournament. And now, like, I think that the standard, we hold ourselves to such a higher standard. Even last year, I was still getting back into it. So definitely not in my prime last year. I was able to get in a little bit, but we had Claudia playing third base. Super great job. She was amazing. And so this year's kind of like my first year back in a sense. Haven't been able to face a lot of, I missed my whole freshman year. Last year I faced like, I don't know, maybe like 20, 25 batters or pitchers, sorry. But I think that coming into my junior year in the fall, I got super excited. I just really like how competitive this team is. That's a quality like that I have, and I really appreciate when other people on my team do the same. Competitiveness and accountability like together are just like what's pushing our team. We're really disciplined. We had a lot of scrimmages in the fall, just showcasing our talent, being able to show John what we can do. And obviously I had my ups and downs. There was time where I was slumping, even the beginning of this season, I was slumping a little bit, but definitely have gotten back into it now. And coming into the spring season, I was super excited. I just know last spring season, I got really close with all my teammates, even closer than freshman year. And so I just knew like it was gonna be something special. We have some really special seniors on the team that I'm gonna miss a lot when they leave. I try not to think about it. But then also just like, I'm really close to the juniors or sophomores. We have so many amazing freshmen. I love how close we are. I know a couple other girls in their podcast talked about that too. But truly we are. I mean, we spend so much time together. We do a lot of the same things, a lot of the same extracurricular activities also. So I'm just super excited for the season. I know there's a lot of good things to come, but we're not just looking to punch our ticket. We're looking to like make a stand in the tournament, not just get third again. And yeah, make it to that Saturday, May 10th. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you tore your ACL. Did you, was it a full tear then or just a partial?
Yeah.
How, so did you go with the cadaver or did you do like your hamstring?
I actually did the patellar tendon one.
Patellar tendon?
Yeah. Yep.
How's that? So how's that in terms of like 9 months? How's that been just like generally kind of getting back? I mean, how's that process? So when I tore mine, I did a hamstring, did my hamstring. So I'm always kind of curious when, you know, hamstring, patellar tendon, do a cadaver, like there's, you know, a couple different ways to do it. Kind of walk me through like that, you know, that whole like recovery, that process, you know, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, to start, just my injury actually happened. We were through the fall season, my freshman year. I was playing shortstop at the time. And I was catching Lauren Koster because I came in as a catcher. So we were kind of a duo, but after my surgery, I was told I wasn't able to catch anymore. So that was really upsetting because that's what I've done my whole life. But luckily in high school, I did play a little bit of third, a little bit of short. So I was able to put myself in other positions, help out the team, you know. But we only had 2 days left in the fall season, and it was in a practice. I was rounding third. And at the time, our coach was Lori Duncan, and she told me to slide. When originally she was telling me to go home, but then she told me to slide the last minute and just the kind of the movement of direction. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't really know exactly what. Went in to get an MRI and the results just took a super long time to come in. My injury was mid-October and I didn't find out that I tore my ACL until the day before Thanksgiving when I went home. They actually called my parents, but my parents wanted to be there when they told me, just not really knowing my reaction, but I actually did not think it was that serious. I knew I had like hurt it, but I thought maybe I hyperextended my knee or had bone bruising at the most. So I was really shocked to find out it was torn, very upset. But, you know, I have really good support system at home. My dad had just retired, so he was able to be with me through a lot of the process, a lot of physical therapy. I missed my freshman J term, wasn't really able to walk. He was taking care of me a lot, and my mom was just always super supportive, still is always super supportive. Making sure that I was like feeling okay, trying to push me to do my best and, giving me some grace, which she knew I needed it. But yeah, 9 months of recovery, a lot of PT. I was at PT at home during January, came back here for the season and for spring semester that year, did PT in Moline at Advanced Rehab. And I loved it there. Loved the PTs there. They actually helped me, figure out what I wanted to study. So that was awesome.
So you know,
I was undecided coming in.
There you go. So I mean, yeah, you got something great out of it, right? Like, you know, things happen for a reason. So
yeah, that's and great. Then softball wise, even John, like me from last year to this year is just night and day. My mobility was just nowhere near what it was. The athleticism I had before from playing a lot of different sports and just being constantly active, it was hard. I mean, physical therapy helped to rejuvenate some of that, but not to the level I was at before. But this year I feel like I've kind of just exploded. I've gotten really powerful in the weight room, kind of like taking I lost a little bit of my speed that I had before, although I'm not like slow now, but you know, kind of taking a little bit different role other than like a leadoff hitter, more of like a 5-4-5 hitter now. But it's been a lot of work, a lot of support from my friends, my roommates, my family, and John.
So what was the hardest part going from, you know, kind of primary catcher to move into like third base? Like, what was the hardest thing for you to transition?
Honestly, I think it was not being involved in every single play. I don't know if that sounds bad, but even just growing up through my high school and through travel ball days, I learned a lot of the game from being just like right up close and personal, you know? And I think that learning how to call a game is super beneficial. Elena Diaz does a great job calling our games. And it's a lot different at the collegiate level. I never really got to catch in a real collegiate game. I played shortstop when we actually played, when Lauren wasn't pitching. And usually Morgan Biofell at the time would catch Lauren even if she was in a game. So just kind of like not being super involved in every play. Also, like, I kind of want to tell everyone, like, after every play, kind of remind people what the outs are, what the situation is, where we're throwing, if we're expecting it, like anticipating. So I think for me, that's been like the hardest part, but also just the competitiveness coming from catching, talking to the umpires, being involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell me a little bit about, so you grew up in Farmington, Illinois. Like, how did you get to Augie? Like, what was that path?
Well, my high school coach, Jenny Fowser, she actually played at Augie. And it was, I can't remember which year she ended up graduating, but they were very good when she was here. It was before we had Kistler. And so I didn't really know. I was actually between softball and golf. I didn't know which I wanted to play. I was maybe going to play golf at a JUCO, but I decided that a four-year was going to be better for me. Still was undecided, but I knew, like, when I went to college, I wanted to be set in my place. Didn't really want to have to leave or get comfortable for 2 years and leave. The first place I actually looked at that I really liked was Olivet Nazarene University.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I visited there, and it wasn't, like, a perfect fit. I wanted to make sure, so I visited a couple other places. And then, you know, Augustana, I loved how modern it was. Still kind of like has a big campus feel, but super close to home, only an hour and like 15 minutes. So, although I haven't been home in like a super long time, I've been so busy, but, super close to home. My coach played here. She like really encouraged Augie. She loved her experience here and I love my experience here. Just being able to continue to play softball. I feel like out of all the sports I played, I poured the most time into softball. My parents have poured the most money into softball. They watched me play for years and years and years since I was 4 years old playing T-ball, you know? So I kind of feel like in a way I owed it to them, owed it to myself, knowing like this was going to be the next step. When I was a kid, I'm a big Tennessee softball fan. When I was in junior high, I would then like,
you probably were pretty big fan of what's her face? Their pitcher. I mean, she's, Carly. Yeah. I mean, she was just, you know, cranking heaters, you know, against, that was Arkansas or whatever a week ago, last Monday. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But you said that. Oh, I was like, okay. God, she was cranking heaters. Like,
she was. We actually, on the way back from spring break on the Sunday, we watched the game on the bus. We watched the Tennessee-Oklahoma game because it was the third game of the series. And I hate Oklahoma. So, and I love Tennessee. So I was like, they ended up winning the series. It was the best day ever, obviously. I don't even remember the question before now, but hey, I love Tennessee softball. So love to talk about it.
No, I love it. Sorry. I didn't mean to like completely cut you off and kill your,
that's okay.
But no, coming from Farmington and coming to Augie. And, so you were kind of looking at Olivet, end up coming to Augie. You know, which is because you're Farmington's down by kind of like near Peoria, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, did you know much about Augie then? kind of prior to, you know, your coach or?
Yeah, well, I did actually have some of my family friends' kids went there. Judd Anderson, he actually graduated the year before I got here, but he was on the track team here. And we're super close with his family, and so I would always, like, see him. He was a hurdler, pretty good. And he was, like, the only person, him, and then I had a cousin also who came here and played football for a couple years. So I knew about Augie, didn't know much about it other than, like, a couple people who went there, my coach who came and really liked it. I have a twin brother. Him and my oldest brother and my dad all went to Monmouth. And for some reason, I just knew I didn't want to go to Monmouth. Nothing against them, you know, go Vikings, no Scots, but
yep.
I don't know. I just really liked it here when I came and visited. So something about just being drawn here, I guess.
I like it. So let's talk a little bit about your kinesiology, kind of pre-physical therapy. It has, you know, and communication. So like, on your bio there. So I mean, we kind of figured out what drove you towards it, right? I mean, it's, you know, your knee injury, is what kind of got you interested in it. Like, were you in some type of like science or bio, like thought process? You just weren't quite sure what you wanted to do with it. And that just kind of solidified it. Like, how did you come to kinesiology specifically?
Yeah, so when I visited for freshman orientation the summer before I came to Augie, they have you sign up for your classes, but really no one really knows what they're doing at all, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I think kind of your first semester of freshman year, it's not like a throwaway, but it's kind of like just kind of getting your place. That's why they have classes like first year inquiry and everything. But I actually was in Kinesiology 100, which I was lucky enough to get into early. A lot of people, even people who know they were going to be kinesiology major at the time, I did not, have trouble getting into that class, sometimes even as late as their fall of their sophomore year. And you have to have that class to have the rest of the major. I had that class and I really enjoyed it. I was on the biology track in high school, took advanced genetics and anatomy and all that good stuff. But I didn't really want, even though my love for Grey's Anatomy we were talking about earlier today, I didn't really want to go into the med field. And that kinesiology class and tearing my ACL honestly like pushed me towards that. Like the PTs I had were just amazing. I always knew like I'm extroverted. And so communications is as my second major was something that I kind of knew was just going to be like always there. I didn't know if maybe human resources was going to be something in my future. And that's kind of just like where I started because I had no idea. So, you know, just got to jump head first, you know? So when I tore my ACL, I actually was able to ask my physical therapist a lot of different questions. The one I had at home, he was a dad of a girl I played on a softball team against. And so he was really open about answering my questions. And I had a girl here at Advanced Rehab. Her name was Sarah. And she was super open about answering my questions. There was a lot of things I was concerned about just in terms of my future. Like she would let me ask her, how much money are you making? Are you able to have a family, like doing this career? You know, the questions that are hard that people might not be honest about. And on top of that, she helped me a lot being able to like have the gift of reading someone, knowing when they need to be pushed and when they need to be given grace was just something I really admired about her and I wanted for myself and for my future patients. And so I just kind of fell in love with the kinesiology, anatomy. It seemed like the right path for me. And I started researching it, watching videos. I don't know, just really liked it. That was kind of where it stemmed from.
I like it. You know, it's funny. You talk about tearing your ACL kind of helped you drive towards that. And I remember when I tore my ACL, I was in Colorado. I taught myself how to, I'd never really done much with like Excel and spreadsheets and started learning how to do pivot tables. And now I'm like developing Power BI models and I do a ton with analytics and you know, I do stuff with, the baseball, you know, spotter charts and stuff like that. It's like, had I not done that and, you know, had basically, you know, a ton of time where I'm just hanging out in my bed with that machine, just kind of moving, you know, moving your leg and just getting bored out of my mind. You know, I'm like, I don't know if I would have ever maybe, you know, explored that or, you know, or picked up that skill. I'm like, what else am I doing? You know, I'm just laying here. So I got to find something else to do. So it's kind of interesting, you know, the little, kind of bumps in the road, you know, sometimes steer you the right direction. So, now, you know, you've talked about, you know, your parents and on that, you know, that, you know, I'll call them the player, like social media cards that, you know, the softball team does, but, you know, you talk about your parents, being your role model. And then I saw, I think it was on your sophomore one. Was it Nona? Am I saying that right? Nona? Yep. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about them.
Yeah. So you probably know, but for like anyone, Nona is, Italian for grandmother. It's my dad's mom, and, she is 83 years old and I love her. She's amazing. She lives just a couple blocks away from me at home. So I see her almost every day, when I'm home, especially in the summer. Our thing is that we watch the Wheel of Fortune on the weekdays at 6:30 after dinner when I get home. So it's like the most Farmington thing I've ever said, but basically, yeah, I'm super close with my parents and my Nona. They're absolutely my support system. They're like everything to me. And I would not be where I am without any of them. My dad, he's super honorable guy. Like I mentioned, he's retired for a couple of years now. He's a firefighter. My mom's a teacher. My mom's had such an impact on so many students. Especially like me and my twin brother are the youngest of my family. And so coming from a small school, like she knew every single kid in my class. She had us in eighth grade. She's actually the only teacher that almost ever gave me detention. I probably deserved it. But she's amazing. She's about to retire here in a couple of years too. So her and my dad will get all the golfing in. But yeah, they're amazing. I hope that someday my family can be just like them.
I like it. Yeah. And I was looking at where Farmington was at and I was like, man, I did a few games. I did a couple of years ago. I was following United Township's basketball team here and was doing a lot of their games. And they played down at like Pekin and they played down at Dunlap. I'm like, oh, that's not too far from Farmington. You know, driving all these like obscure back roads to get to, you know, Dunlap. Well, nice. Now, the other thing, you know, is I was looking through some of that stuff. You know, last year, the word you had chosen that described you was genuine. So why'd you choose that word?
That is a very good question. I would say I chose that word because hopefully this is how I think. I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with my friends, my family, people who know me the best, but you know that like, if I'm in your corner, you can count on me and I'm not gonna kind of BS you, you know, I'm going to let you know how it is, but also like, I understand, like we're all just like first time going through this life, me, my siblings, my parents, my friends, all my support system at home. I don't know. I just feel like also on the softball team, like I have a lot of close connections with a lot of girls on the team. There are some girls I do wish I was closer to, but I try my best, you know, reach out to like people when I can, when I see them putting in the extra work and putting in the extra effort. Cause I know it takes a whole team, you know, I know it takes every single role, especially like freshman year, I had a different role being injured. Last year I was second to Claudia. I had a very different role. Now I'm a starter. Like, you know, I've been through all of it, I think. And so I just think that genuine is a super good word to describe me. My coaches, I think, would describe me in that way. At least I hope they would. John knows he can count on me. He knows that like, if he had a question about the team or I don't know, just about something that was going on, that I would like tell him straight up and be honest with him. So that's why I chose that word.
Well, I was just looking at a message. John had mentioned me and he definitely had a, I won't say it on here. I'll tell you afterwards. But it was very good props. I'll tell you what it was afterwards. Maybe not, you know. So anyway, I'll tell you afterwards, after we jump off here. Okay. No, that's awesome. Yeah, and you know, when you think about like, you know, you're as a junior, you know, what do you feel like thinking back to your freshman year? What advice would you go and give your freshman self, knowing where you're at in your junior year? Because I'm sure, you know, as your next year, you know, once you've graduated, you know, that'll probably change a little bit. But what would you recommend your kind of freshman self, or what word of advice would you give yourself, you know, a couple years ago?
In like a softball way, in like a life way, both. What do you
think? All the above, anything. Yeah.
Okay. Freshman year me, like, there were so many unknowns in my life, and even when I think I had it figured out, I didn't. So I think just kind of like being able to give myself some grace. I came in, I was working super hard softball wise. I knew that was like one of the only things I was for sure about. Coming in here, like, we had Lori, we would have like 3-hour practices. I would be there an hour early. I would be doing everything I could. Like, I didn't care if I was going to be a pinch runner. I was going to have a spot on that team. So like super dedicated. And I think that I would just tell myself, like, try not to stress too much. I know that's probably a basic answer. I bet everyone would tell themselves that, but you know, the Lord has a plan for us. So, and I know that, but obviously it can be easy to lose track and sight. So kind of relax, find your place, find your people, be open to new things. And I don't know, I really wouldn't change much.
Well, let's talk about your glove. Do you have it with you by chance?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you share and kind of talk a little bit about it?
Yeah. So this is my glove from this year. I did get a glove last year also. It's actually in my bag in the locker room. So, but it's okay because, you know, this one's better anyway. we have my, as everyone else has also, the Viking logo and then my name here. I actually had to get, the first time they spelled my name wrong and they put an N at the end of my first name. So they had to send me a new glove. Oh. But they caught it right away. Yeah. So that kind of stinks, but that's all right. I have a cross here in the middle of my glove. The red, white, and blue kind of, I wanted like an American themed glove. Last year I did a really like navy and gold Viking themed one. Mm-hmm. So I just want to do something a little bit different. Really love the blonde leather, but also have my American flag. Here on the side, I have Romans 8:18, which is like one of my favorite Bible verses. And it says that I consider our present sufferings are not worth the joy that will come compared to the joy that will come. So that's like super encouraging for me, softball wise and life wise, just to know I've been through so much, even in high school. But like I've gotten through every single day of that. So who's to say I can't do it again? And here, kind of could continue on with the theme. This is Jaira. Wait, am I in the camera here?
Yep. Jaira.
can you hear me?
Yep. There you go. You cut out for that for a second there, right after Jaira.
Yeah. So Jaira means God will provide. And that's one of my favorite worship songs. And so I just try to like kind of bring the Lord into my softball game. I pray during the national anthem, typically during games, just that he would keep everyone safe, both teams, and kind of just be with me, allow me to be the genuine person I am and like play for his glory. So
I love it. I love it. I think it's, you know, I think it's so cool. You know, one, the fact that, you know, there's, you know, things that, you know, you have to do right to be able to earn that glove. But then secondly, you know, being able to choose it, and really, you know, a glove will, I mean, it's going to change year after year, right? You know, but it's some different personal preferences, but you really get to kind of customize it. So I just think it's super cool. So I always love to have, you know, have the team, you know, share and talk through it. And, now I was also looking like in your bio though, it said, okay, a 12 sport athlete in your bio. Is what it says. What were the, so what's the 12 sport athlete?
So, at my school, we have an award that you get your in high school, and in IHSA, you can play three sports a year. And so for me, it was volleyball in the fall, basketball in the winter, and then softball in the spring. And I did that for all 4 years of high school. So me, and then I think there was one other boy in my class that also ended up doing that. So we were like the two 12 sport athletes. It's like an award to put, on your college stuff. And we actually kind of were joking about it because, in a way, COVID changed a lot of things for me during high school. I was a sophomore, the end of my sophomore year when COVID hit, and I started playing golf. And so I actually was able to play golf during my junior season, because the sports were all spread out. It was when you could only have cross country and like golf and a couple other sports because the social distancing. So I actually played golf my junior and senior year also. So I played in junior year, I played golf, volleyball, basketball, softball, and then senior year I was playing golf and volleyball at the same time because I ended up doing pretty well junior year in golf. And so I wanted to continue to play, but also like the volleyball team I was already committed to, and I was like this starting setter. So I mean, I love volleyball, but like golf was more of a something I was able to succeed at. So yeah, that's where that came from.
Yeah, because I saw that and I was like, well, you played golf. And I'm like, okay, hold on. I tried looking to find out what the 12 sport athlete was, and I couldn't really figure that one out. And so I'm like, hold on. Okay, were you playing like chess? Were you playing like what were all the different things like you were like adding up to be like, so I wasn't quite sure. But yeah, I saw golf. It's like, what was the best game you ever shot in golf?
I can't remember if it was a 38 or a 37 I've shot. I shot at Oak Run, in it's like not too far from, it's like kind of by Galesburg-ish. It's in the middle of nowhere, but it's kind of by Galesburg. It's east of Galesburg, but we played there a lot. That was like our home course. So I did shoot a 38 there once. I can't remember if I shot 37, but I think 38 was my lowest. And I shot that once there, and then I shot a 38 once at Elmwood Country Club, which is where my family golfs in the summer.
Now you can stand in for me sometime.
We do scramble, a scramble.
I was in a golf league for, I just enjoyed playing golf. I picked up playing golf when, as every college guy does, when they get into the sport, and was never very good. Decided, I'd go buy a brand new, fitted ping set. That's going to make me, much better. Not really. I looked better, but I certainly didn't play better. But yeah, a good day for me is like was like a 44, 46. That was really about it. So, man, golf, I just stopped playing. I'm not good at it at the end of the day. I'm just not good. So just not good.
It is like the hardest sport to play. I swear it's harder than softball.
It is. It's I get in my head so much that I just, like I will just will and wish this shot where it's gonna go in the exact opposite direction. So yeah, nothing I can do. Well, hey, well, I got a couple things left here. I know it's getting a little late, so I appreciate your time. Now, this is where it's gonna get a little fun. So I told you I found an old in October of 2020. I mean, we're going like 5
Oh,
years old, not terrible. You posted a picture on X that said, "Hot chocolate is not good. Change my mind." What is your current stance on hot chocolate?
wow, that is from, wow, 2020. Okay. Personally, still don't think hot chocolate is just the greatest thing ever. I actually remember that we were having an argument, and at the time, we were trying to both become Twitter famous, obviously. But he's 28, so he's like a lot older. He was posting about like The Bachelor and like the girls like watching the Bat. I don't know. Anyway, so my stance was like
Hawaiian
just hot chocolate's
shirts. Hawaiian
not good.
shirts,
Yes,
tweet
Hawaiian
it.
shirts. Yeah, I was 16 at the time. Yeah, 16. But yeah, personally, it's only good when you come in from being outside in the snow. And that's just my opinion.
All right. I
Can
mean,
you change my mind?
I, you know, I'm not a, I don't drink a lot of hot chocolate, so
I'm
I can't
saying.
argue with you. I can't argue with you. I'm sorry. I can't argue with you. But I did see that, and I thought it was so funny. I'm like, I mean, you know, you're gonna hang your hat on something. Hang it on that, I suppose.
Oh my goodness.
But I mean, you know, I think right after that, you were like, you want to make it Chicken Tender Tuesday or something like that, you know, as well. So I'm like, I can support that. I can get behind that pretty quick. So you know, talk about like I go and I try and find obscure things. I absolutely do.
Yeah, you did.
But all right, so last thing, I know you're a Grey's Anatomy fan. So I told you a little bit. I don't know much about Grey's Anatomy. So what I did come up with, I asked Grok on X. I use Grok more than I use Google anymore. So I have some questions I'll tee up about Grey's Anatomy
Okay.
from Grok. So hopefully these are semi accurate.
All right.
All right. So if you got hurt sliding into home plate, which doctor would you rather have you treat, Dr. Gray or Dr. Yang?
Sliding into home plate.
Yeah, so you're sliding into home plate, you get hurt, right? Such a situation, you got hurt.
Yeah.
So who would you rather have treat you, Dr. Gray or Dr. Yang?
Well, from a kinesiology standpoint and from a Grey's Anatomy standpoint, Dr. Gray was more like general surgery, and Christina Yang was more cardiovascular. So I'm praying that my injury is not in the heart if I'm sliding into home plate.
Well,
So
there
I'm
we
gonna go
go.
with
There we
Dr.
go. All
Gray. Yeah, also I love her, so Dr. Gray.
right. All right. Well, there we go. See, that's how little I knew. I mean, cardiovascular doctor. No clue. No clue. All right. So I did this a little bit. We did this with friends. We're gonna do this with Grey's Anatomy. So who's
Oh
the
gosh.
Meredith Gray on the team? So you think about like always pushing through, kind of like no matter what. Like who's in your opinion, who's the Meredith Gray on the team?
Always pushing through no matter what. Honestly, I will have to say Lauren Coster. I think that she is, if she's not, I mean, she's one of the most dedicated people on our team, if not the most dedicated. And she has just like, no matter what's happening, she's trying to keep us positive, you know? I mean, I've been pretty close with her since like freshman year. We've definitely gotten closer over the past 2 years. But yeah, I remember freshman year when I was catching her, we took a walk with our assistant pitching coach at the time, Carl, who eventually became our head coach. And he was asking us to make some goals. And I'll just never forget like some of the things she said and how she holds herself very well. And even when she's going through like, she can be going through the worst game and she's going to be the one that has a positive attitude and she's going to lift other people up, even if she's the one having a bad game. So I really respect her for that. And I would say that she's definitely the Meredith Grey.
All right. So on the other side, who's the Christina Yang on the team? So like super competitive, like clutch.
Super competitive and clutch. I would
And these are
say.
Grok's definitions, by the way. These are Grok's
Okay.
definitions. So I'm hoping these are like
Yeah.
mildly accurate.
We have a lot of very competitive people on the team. I would say like Emily Gadd, super competitive, and Elena Diaz, super competitive. Also, Elena Diaz is like clutch, obviously. You've seen the stats.
Yep.
So
I'm talking to her on
I would
Friday,
say like
so I'm excited. Yeah.
perfect. Yeah, love her. Those are two people that are super competitive and clutch, I'd say. Marley Beam probably too.
Right. All right. Who's the Miranda Bailey? So like tough, keeps everyone in line, like sort of the team's like unofficial boss.
I would say probably, gosh, These are really hard. I applaud Emily for answering these. We were making fun of her on the bus the other day for the way she answered her questions. They're probably gonna make fun of me now. The Miranda Bailey. I would say, like, in a sense, Marley's the Miranda Bailey. She like has a good connection with a lot of people on the team. And she's kind of like able to keep the team together, I'd say. Probably also like in a way, Lily Burton. Lily Burton, she's a sophomore. She has a connection with like a ton of the freshmen. She's in a lot of the same like extracurriculars as them as well. And also like she's really close with like my like the juniors, my class, and the seniors. Like she played with like Megan Nixon in travel ball, so she has a connection with every single class. So in a way, like she knows how to like talk to people when something's going on. It could be her too.
I have two more. So who is the Derek Shepherd? He was described as like somebody who's like cool headed, like, you know, at key moments, doesn't get rattled a ton. Who would that be?
So based off of your definition, I kind of have two. I would say probably like I think that Tegan Nease can be like key moments come in. She has a very good softball IQ and she played for John like in travel ball a long time ago, but I like always whenever we were calling timeouts and we come to the middle and we're able to talk, me, her, and Alexis Duke, we're always talking like what are we doing in this situation? Like thinking through every possible scenario, making sure we're prepared. But I would also say like I really don't think that in softball Maya Veal ever gets that like worked up. She's pretty cool headed, like no matter what the situation is. I know there's been a couple times that I've been able to like talk to her about things going on during the game. For me, like when I'm having a moment, in the second Carthage game, I had a little bit of a moment. So like I think that between Tegan and Maya, they can be the Derek Shepherds, the neurosurgeons of the group.
All right. Well, lastly, who's the Izzy Stevens? So, like, I think she was, or known for like the emotional depth. Someone, thinking about someone who's like, just, brings the heart, hustle every play, will lay out, like, lay it all on the line, at any given moment. Who's an Izzy Stevens?
Yeah, I think that we have so many Izzy Stevens. That's the best thing about our team. So many laid out on the line people. But honestly, I think that Megan Nixon is one of the main Izzy Stevens. Megan Nixon works harder than almost anyone I know in the classroom and outside. She's also like extremely positive. Her and Lauren Coster are like really good friends and they kind of have like similar personalities and I love that about them. She's just like key player. Like our team would not be the same without her, and I'm not looking forward to her leaving. No matter what, like she will take her role. If she starts a game, she is taking like making sure that she's going to do her job. And if she's not starting, she's picking up someone else who is. And she has just been like, it's amazing to watch her, honestly, like inspiring. It's hard, to play all these different roles. Like we kind of talked about the roles I've played over the years. But especially like within a season, like game to game, I think that she just works so hard. So, Megan Nixon.
I love it. Well, an hour and 4 minutes exactly. You might be the longest. I think
Oh,
you just
gosh. I'm
overtook Alex
sorry.
Simon. So, no, that's good. That's good. No, it was awesome. I think it's a great spot to kind of wrap things up. And you've got Wheaton, Wednesday, doubleheader at home, Whitewater, as well. So, certainly good luck, here this week, and obviously, continue good luck this season. I've been trying to hopefully find some time to get over and watch the team play. Sucks sometimes, your schedule and the baseball schedule just kind of line up where I'm over at Brunner Field, so I'm calling the game. But yeah, need to get over, and if not, I'm usually watching online regardless. So when you're away, so
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your support.
absolutely. Well, Hey, I appreciate you coming on. Again, staying up a little bit later here on Monday night to kick off the week. Again, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be right back.